With us today, this morning, Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, back from his adventures, we think. And with any luck, you're going to tell us all about it. Hi.
Hello, hello. Welcome home, Schwartz.
Welcome home, Schwartz.
There's no place like home. I say one of the best things about being away is coming home.
Always.
However, I must say this time around, I've done this before, meaning I've sailed from Southampton, England to New York before, and I never had jet lag. But this time around, I had a week of jet lag. So I don't understand that, because the ship goes an hour a day for 5 days, either way, whichever way you're going, so that you get used to the time. But anyway.
But
it's on this topic of no place like home, where I went was, we took the Queen Mary 2 from Brooklyn to Southampton, England. That's a 7-night, 6-day, depends on how you count them, trip. And as we have done this before, on this ship before, it was familiar ground, and I knew what I was getting myself into, and it was very pleasant. Can't say the food was wonderful, but the trip in general was very pleasant.
So the first thing I have to ask, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
The first thing I have to ask is, how did the food compare this time to the food last time?
Not as good. Not as good. You know, it's the old joke. The food was terrible and the portions were too small. Marshall knows that joke.
I know. No, it just reminds me of Alan King.
A real Borscht Belty joke.
Right.
But it was true. In this case, it summed things up. Or as I also summed it up, is they overcooked the meat and they undercooked the vegetables. And also, it's hard to find English food in England. In fact, you probably do better on the English foods thing on the ship, on the Cunard Queen Mary 2, than you do in England. But I'll get to that in a minute. So we spent a week on the ship. I knew that we were going to enjoy the pub, which we did again. They have classic pub things like fish and chips, which they do, depends on the day, but usually it's done pretty good. And they also have a pub pie of the day. Now, I've been on the ship before pandemic and after pandemic, and before pandemic, it really was of the day. They changed the pie. This trip, both ways, they only had one pie. It was still called the pie of the day, but it was only one. They called it a game pie, but I consulted with other passengers, and we decided had no clue about what game. It certainly tasted like beef to us. So anyway, beef stew in a pie crust ain't bad anyway. So that was the pub, but so we spent 7 days on the ship, and there are many eating venues. There is, for instance, the main dining room, which is called the Britannia. Remember, this is England. This is a miniature England, so it's very class conscious. And there is actually something called the Princess Grill and the Queen's Grill, which are for the super fancy, expensive rooms and penthouses on the ship. And they have small dining rooms, and I understand the food's not much better than it is in the main dining room. I haven't eaten there myself, but that's what I hear.
Be nice
but
to...
But the service is fabulous.
It'd be nice to lie
in... Which it is not in the Britannia main dining room.
All right, and so we have to invoke Marshall for a second because, you know, he was always all about his cruises to Bermuda and all about how he could manage the kitchen, and how they maintained that they would bring him anything at any time, which, you know...
Well, not true anymore.
Okay.
40 years ago, I was actually hired by Cunard to go on the Queen Elizabeth II from, I guess it was, we went New York to Southampton, or Southampton to New York, I'm forgetting which way I went, but I was there to evaluate the food service. I did not give a good report to the executives when I got back to New York. At that point in time, they did say, you could have anything your heart desires. And so after a week of, or almost a week, of not getting anything near what my heart desired, Bob and I and the other couple that we were seated with and had bonded with decided we're going to ask the kitchen on the final dinner to give us the most extravagant chocolate dessert they could come up with. Next night, waiter brings over this extravagant chocolate dessert, puts it in the middle of the table. We all look at the dessert. We all look at each other, and we all say, Sara Lee? It had those, you know, the rosettes were tamped down on top from being having the lid in the freezer.
We called
the waiter over, and with whatever British accent he had, he said, we said, what is it? What do they call this? And he said, oh, it's something called a Sara Lee. Anyway. So that was my QE2 experience. And I have to say that the Queen Mary 2, which I went on a couple times years ago, three times actually, was significantly better food and larger portions than it was on this crossing either way. Now, there is a buffet where you can stuff yourself if you want. There were a couple of nights that I couldn't find anything on the buffet that I really wanted to eat. But that's me. I'm very picky. And what I learned is that, and I should have seen this as soon as I got on the ship, England has become India. The former colony now controls the nation. I noted this morning, in fact, that the mayor of London, his last name is Khan, Sadiq Khan, that's not a British name, and the Prime Minister of England is of Indian descent.
Rishi Sunak.
And in London, well, it's not just London, it's everywhere, curry rules the day. In fact, well, I'll get to that in a minute, but I should have seen that on board the ship. Now, if you were eating Indian every day, you did pretty well because the sauces were really terrific. I'm sure I know. A lot of the kitchen staff are Indian. I didn't find out where the executive chef was from. He used to be Indian. I don't know if he's still. It's a different person, I found out. But anyway, they make very good sauces, but the proteins that are in these sauces, the meat, the chicken, the seafood, is rank. I mean, if you want hard cubes of chicken and stringy overcooked meat or undercooked meat, they could be also like rocks, you got these curries. But the curry, you know, if I wanted to eat just rice and curry sauces, I would have been happy. They did have very good mango chutney, but that actually had pieces of mango in it. But in general, English food has come down to pub food. And in London, we ate in a couple of pubs. And here's a funny one for you. So let me just do the outline of the trip. So we were 7 nights, 6 days on the Queen Mary 2, which does have, by the way, great lectures, lecturers, entertainment. You could be busy every minute of the day if you wanted to. A lot of people want to. A lot of people do not want to. I, by the way, felt young on this trip. The average age is up there. I don't know what to say, but if Bob and I in our late 70s felt young, you can imagine. And we also felt good about our physical condition, given other people of the same age. But England and even Cunard is turning into one big pizzeria and hamburger joint. We go to Southampton. We, with a car and driver, went to Bath, which is, by the way, the most visited town in all of England, after London, of course. Bath is an 18th century, I call it the 18th century Hamptons of London. The rich people went to get out of the city. They weekended and I guess summered in Bath. Very strangely, I think, if you're summering somewhere, the houses in Bath, 18th century Georgian beautiful houses inside, are row houses. You only have windows in the front and the back because you're all attached. In England in general, in London in particular, houses are built that way. And very few trees on the streets. But Bath is a really nice town to walk around. And we stayed in a very glamorous hotel where I had ate very well in their restaurant, by the way. It wasn't English food, but I did what I could do. You can still get a traditional English breakfast everywhere you go. Do you want to eat a traditional English breakfast? I don't know. Their bacon is not our bacon. It's a lean cut of cured pork. They have a streak of fat in it, but to me it's tough and salty. I love a good blood pudding, but the ones that I tried on the ship and on land, both, were not very good, mostly starch.
Any shepherd's pie, steak and cottage pie?
You get beans. You know, you get those Heinz vegetarian beans.
Right.
That the Brits, the Queen Elizabeth liked them on toast, I always read. That was one of her favorite things, beans on toast. Of course, you get cold toast because they insist on putting the toast on a rack, except on the ship, got to say. On the Queen Mary, we ordered breakfast in the room almost every morning. And if I ordered toast or a bagel, toasted bagel, they wrapped it in very, very well, snugly, in a napkin, and it came to me hot.
Oh, that's good. I went back and I conflated two things, but a steak, did you have a steak in kidney pie or any cottage pie or shepherd's pie?
No, I tried.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
But nobody ever had such a thing. The chicken and leek pie seemed to be one. We ate in the same, in let me say, the restaurant in Bath, in our hotel, was sensational. Right. Plus, Bath is, of course, famous for the Roman baths. We've seen Roman baths before, so we were not in awe of these, but they are very nice to look at. And imagine how it was in those days. And next to the baths, the Roman baths, is a room called the Pump Room, which is a historic, I figured out 30-foot high ceilings, all Georgian columns.
Well, that's where everybody went to gather during the day and drink the waters with the ladies and their, you know.
Exactly. So. Well, now it's a restaurant only open certain times of the year, and we were fortunate enough to fall into one of those. And I had a decent meal there. It wasn't, memorable, but it was okay. But being in the room is memorable. So, anyway, in our, as I said, our hotel had a very good restaurant with a very, very nice, personable head waiter. So we were happy in the hotel, too. And then, of course, one day we gave in and went to one of the zillion Italian restaurant pizzerias. Because, as I said, England is becoming one big pizzeria and hamburger joint. I so far resisted the hamburgers. Next stop was the Cotswolds. A cot is a little shelter where they shear the sheep, and a wold is a hill. So it's the hills with the cots. Let me say, it looks a lot like Litchfield County. You don't have to go as far as the Cotswolds to see rolling hills and stone walls, and it's very beautiful. But as I said, no place like home.
And the further north you go there, I will just say, the light here is not dissimilar. It's actually one of the magical elements of Litchfield County that people don't either know about or don't, depending on their exposure to those areas.
Well, let me say, we have better trees. They don't get all the colors we get. Anyway, it did look a lot like a Litchfield, except with sheep, a lot of sheep. So the Cotswolds are very nice. We hired a local guide who took us, an older guy who had stories about every property we went by, practically, which was fun. And we saw the countryside. And one day we took a bus. This is something Bob and I like to do. When we're in a new place, we take a municipal transit, whatever it is, a tram, a bus, a train, to the end of the line to see where the people live. So in the case of, you go, we were saying right in the middle of the Cotswolds in Chipping Camden, very, very nice hotel, the Chipping, the Camden Hotel and Spa, Cotswold House it's called.
How, that, because Chipping Camden, Chipping Norton was where all the journo types, you know, where all the big fancy journalists had their...
Well, let me say the Americans have taken over the Cotswold.
Oh, I'm sure.
According to our local guy, well, this property is owned by this American couple. Oh, Americans bought this estate, and they're now making it into condos. You know, that. I laugh. If I lived there, I would not be laughing. So, yeah, one day we took the bus to the end of the line, which in this case is Stratford upon Avon. Now, we traveled on the bus. It's about a half an hour ride from Chipping Camden. Maybe it was a little longer, 40 minutes. I don't remember. It was such a pleasant ride. It went very fast because the countryside is beautiful. Plus, before we even got on the bus, I befriended a local woman who'd been living in Chipping Camden for 37 years. Was now her husband had the forethought to build a few houses that she collects rent on, and so she's comfortable. I got her whole life story, of course. And we went to Stratford-upon-Avon together. She was going there because there's a Marks & Spencer department store. And everybody, not just she, says they have the best produce. So she was going all the way with her shopping cart to Stratford-upon-Avon to do her grocery shopping. And only to find that Marks & Spencer had closed that day, maybe the only day ever that they had closed because they had some kind of an electrical issue. I don't know. But anyway, very pleasant. And I get to, by the time we got, it's mobbed. Stratford-upon-Avon, which I expected to be a quaint little something because we watch television programs that take place there, turns out to be the shopping mecca of the whole part of England. I mean, the streets were as crowded as Broadway and 42nd Street. And there weren't tourists. Because tourists don't have babies and dogs. These streets were filled with local people doing their shopping. I forget what day of the week it was. Maybe it was a weekend day. Anyway, so I got a glimpse of Stratford. We go into a sandwich shop. By the way, it's hard to find tea rooms in England. The country has become a coffee mecca. Almost like Italy. Every other block has a cafe. So we go into a sandwich shop, which I think is a new kind of thing, too, and we get, just because we hadn't had it yet, coronation chicken salad sandwiches on, of course, English white bread. It was heaven. Now, what is coronation chicken salad? Turns out it's a salad, a chicken salad, that was created for Queen Elizabeth's coronation in 1953. It was created by the florist, wedding decorator, and the woman who founded the London Cordon Bleu Cooking School. And it's nothing more than chicken salad, curried chicken salad. And of course, you know, 70, how many years later? 1952?
Well, they just tried it again for the next coronation. You know,
they'll probably make it. But no, it's become a standard English thing.
I understand, but they had everywhere.
We only had it that day because it was a sandwich shop that made these nice white bread sandwiches. And it was very well filled. It was very good, too. And it was good, juicy chicken in a more or less... curry mayonnaise. By the way, the original recipe does call for curry powder. I read one recipe that made a joke out of this, as if every Englishman these days know how to make their own seasonings for a curry. And maybe they do. Because after pizza and hamburgers, not even after, beforehand, the number one food of England seems to be curry. In Chipping Camden, the Cotswolds. The pub across the street from our hotel just won Best Curry in a Pub Award from some magazine. And I had to try it, of course. It was right across the street, too. It was excellent. It was real, and it came with papadums and a really good mango chutney with big pieces of fruit in it. It was really, really good. And the meat was tender and juicy, and so it really was perfect.
Well, that's really good. Two things. We've got about 6 minutes left. B, if, and I'm sure you didn't all those years back, but if you ever saw any of the rom-coms like Notting Hill and Bridget Jones or whatever.
Yeah. I saw them.
All right. Well, they were always either ordering a curry or, you know, so it's not.
No, the number one dish in England.
Exactly.
Chicken tikka masala.
But you'd always go, I mean, this is what these kids grew up on, quote, who are now grown-ups, grew up on as fat. That was the fast food.
Yeah. Well, it still is. And so chicken tikka, they actually had chicken tikka masala on the pub menu on the Queen Mary 2, and we ordered it one day, but we preferred other things on the pub menu, so we never ordered it again. And Bob has, you know, it's interesting. I keep saying to an Englishman, it's spicy if they put salt and pepper on the food. We were adding salt on everything. Very undersalted food in England. And even on the Canard. At first I thought it was Canard because, oh, it's an older audience. They're being very careful about salt. But, you know, it's time for them to up their job on food on the Queen Mary 2. Not just my opinion, Picky Schwartz, but many other opinions I heard on the ship without prompting. There was one couple that we sat with. By the way, it was a wonderful people experience. You meet very nice people on Cunard, which is not the same as some other lines. We've had some bad ship experiences too, but no, we meet really, really interesting, lovely people on the Queen Mary 2, and one of the attractions is it's a 15-minute cab ride from where we live.
Yeah, that's
so
good.
Another food that I was so looking forward to but didn't get because is a Sunday roast. The pub that we've been frequenting in London, in Kensington, supposedly had a good Sunday roast. By the time we got there, they were out of roast. But they did have Yorkshire pudding and gravy, so I ordered that. And the Yorkshire pudding, as in every other Yorkshire pudding I had, including on the ship, including in pubs, tasted like cardboard. So cardboard with gravy, you know, some people like that. I'm going to make popovers this week because after I've had something that I know I can do better, I've got to do it.
Oh, it's so, okay, good. So maybe at some point we can do popovers versus, well, not versus, popovers slash Yorkshire pudding.
Well, it's the same thing.
Exactly.
Exactly the same thing.
And a good Yorkshire pudding, I mean, you're making my mouth, I'm
well, a good Yorkshire pudding is eggy and and soft.
And good.
And has lots of flavor from the, if you really want to do it right, with the drippings from your roast. I don't think anybody does that anymore because certainly I didn't get one. And I had it several, if not five times in 3 weeks. Well, of course, we came back on the Queen Mary 2 also. It was interesting. With all the curry going on, there was no coronation chicken salad, and I kept looking. I said, one day they're going to do this. Anyway, fish and chips everywhere. That's the most English food these days, fish and chips.
Okay.
And I did finally succumb to a hamburger at the end of the trip, only because we went to the two things I wanted to do in London was buy an umbrella, which I didn't, although I'm getting one delivered tomorrow that's better than anything I saw in England. Anyway, two, I wanted to go to the Victoria and Albert Museum to look at their ceramics collections. Well, we did, which they're overwhelming, but also we went up to the furniture floor, which is a whole lesson, a history lesson of furniture. And we befriended the young woman who was in charge of securing the furniture floor. And she looked like she enjoyed food. And then she said, well, listen, my father is really picky like you, and he loves this hamburger. And he lived in America for a while, so he knows what a good hamburger is. So we went to this place called Honest Burger, and it was really good.
Oh, good. I thought I was just going to say, which way did it go? Okay, perfect.
No, it was really, really good.
Sometimes, what is it? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, well, I, in my long years of doing this, I can figure out when somebody is reliable or not. Right. I knew that this young woman was going to be reliable.
One has to have a sense about that.
Yeah.
All right, so I think...
I'm happy to be home. I'm happy to be cooking again. We're going to have homemade minestrone for lunch. And that's
popovers.
All right.
So
everybody, enjoy where you are.
And
no place like home.
Exactly. And thank you very much. And welcome to where there's no place like welcome home.
That's right. Take care, dear.
Right.